This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, last hour here on Warriors This Week. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone, Steven Rizzotto with you, breaking down everything around the NBA as it relates to the Golden State Warriors, as we do from 9 to noon every single Saturday. A couple of things to clean up on the text line. Again, this whole rabbit thing, Dan, I don't really understand, but you're a rabbit till you die. You'll always be a rabbit because you couldn't make SI. I'm assuming that that's something between you and Steven that I don't understand.
It's a juvenile Reardon St. Ignatius back and forth.
Okay.
The fact
I thought it was I'm a rabbit. At least I'm not a cherry from SI. I thought that's what it was.
Yeah, we were cherries. Don't ask me why.
I don't want to. What I want to actually talk about, before I get to my gripe, I do have to show some love to Quentin Post. So, I think it was Nate Duncan who put this out on Twitter the other night, because he had a 6-for-9 performance, hit a career-high 6 threes, and Duncan tweeted out about just the volume, the pure volume that Quentin Post has been shooting with, because it's actually not even quietly, has been unbelievable. Like, he's been someone that has knocked down threes at a clip that the Warriors just have not seen from a big man, I would argue,
ever.
Yeah. So this was during the Toronto game. Quentin Post, he's making 46% of his uncontested threes. Perhaps even more amazingly, he's taking 9.1 three-point attempts per 36 minutes, with 79% of those uncontested. So Golden State gets some great threes, he knocks them down. I'll take it a step further. Quentin Post, with what he's done so far this year, and again, it's been a relatively short sample size. He's played 32 games, 13 starts. He's shooting 43.1% from three-point range. That, if qualified, would be number 6 in the NBA. If you also then look at the fact that he's taking, per 36 minutes, 9.1 threes per game, that's in the top 20 of all three-point shooters, again, per 36 minutes in the league. There is no other 7-footer that comes close. What Quentin Post has done in 30 games is establish himself as the best three-point shooting 7-footer in the NBA. Again, in terms of volume, in terms of efficiency and effectiveness, he has been an unbelievable weapon for the Warriors and a massive reason why we're not looking at this team as not being a great three-point shooting squad, because even if he's coming off the bench, maybe he starts in certain matchups, he's a knockdown shooter, and the Warriors have done an awesome job of getting him open looks. And I feel like every time that ball goes up, it's going in.
It's not so much, I think, the Warriors getting him open looks. It's the fact that the NBA is slow to warm to who it is that Quentin Post is and can be in his NBA career. I think you're going to see that number change when it comes to uncontested threes. He's going to get run off the line. You're going to see players extend out on him. But then again, that's what you want to have happen, because that's just going to open up the middle of the floor. They have never had a stretch five that can shoot it like this. And I would also add that guy is always in the catch position. I mean, you talk about fundamentals. Like, he is straight out of, like, John Wooden, elbow tucked. The minute he catches it, he's ready to shoot. He's, like, so perfectly positioned to shoot that thing. It's almost robotic for a big to have that sort of form. But I digress. He has just opened up a whole other dimension, as I mentioned earlier, to the Golden State Warriors when you have a player like him now that other teams have to think about. Because it's spacing and it's that ability to shoot the three.
Yeah, and I'm not even worried about what he can do inside the line because he's such a threat outside. But it's harder. You know, I don't know how they quantify or qualify uncontested threes, but it's really hard to contest when you're 7 feet tall. You know, one of the reasons why Michael Porter Jr., for example, is such a weapon for Denver is he's 6'10". There's a couple threes that he made in that game against the Warriors on Monday in which there was a guy in his face, but it doesn't matter because he's shooting over the top of them. And even if you can get a hand up, you're never going to be able to really disrupt what they're doing. So shout out to Quentin Post, man. He's been incredible.
What's this gripe about coaches?
All right. Okay, so every year, you know, we're talking about March Madness. It comes around. I already got the analyst stuff out of the way. People quit coming down Charles Barkley's road. He doesn't watch games all year, neither do you.
I hate it.
Yeah, no one watches these teams. No one knows who McNeese State is. They might know who the student manager is because Amir Khan is the only student manager in the entire Division I realm that has a NIL deal, which is awesome.
Did Grand Canyon win? Grand Canyon College?
I think they lost, right? Because they were 10-point dogs. I want to say they lost. Why do you care about the Lopes?
Well, that's one of those teams like Grand Canyon College. Well,
they beat St. Mary's last year in the first round.
Thunder Dan. Dan Marley used to coach them.
He did.
They lost to Maryland.
He's not a nice guy, Dan Marley.
Well, you know college basketball because, obviously.
Well, I know a few teams. Here's my point. College basketball is never about the players. I was having this discussion with a media member at the Warriors game against Toronto, I think. Because I was like, I like college basketball. I think the tournament's the best event, best sporting event we have because of just the randomness about it. And he's like, the event sucks. College basketball stinks. And it's because, and this I do agree with him with, it's too much about the coaches. Like, every single clip from a post-game press conference or that's gone viral about March Madness, it's about Mick Cronin. It's about Rick Pitino. It's about John Calipari. It's about all these coaches. Like, last time I checked, they weren't the ones making shots. They weren't the ones stepping to the free throw line and making the both ends of a 1-1. College coaches need to step aside. And that's the biggest difference to me between the NBA and college. And at the very least, these kids are making money now, as they should. But it's still too much about the dudes in the suits. Like, Rick Pitino's a legend. I get it. Calipari's a legend. I get it. We're talking about Arkansas and St. John's, and I haven't heard a single thing mentioned about these players, especially for St. John's, who I believe has NBA talent on their roster. What I don't like about college is it's too much about the guys that are making decisions about the players that are actually going out and performing. And I think at the NBA level, what separates the head coaches from the college level is those guys. I always hear Steve Kerr talk about the players. You hear the best coaches talk about it's the players that make things happen. And that doesn't happen in college. And I realize that they got to go out and recruit and they got to be these big figures that are going to bring guys in and bring talent to make their programs competitive. But just take a playoff, dude. Like, and stop focusing on all of them.
Well, let me try and counter this.
Okay.
I think that to the college player of today, it's much more fleeting, is that if you're good, you're one and done. And that coaches stay for a lot longer, so they're more synonymous with the program than any player who's there for a year or two. NBA players, you know, Steph Curry's been here for 13, 14 years. So there's that. And yes, I don't think you can't underscore the fact that the whole program revolves around the coach. They're the GM. They're the owner. And the coach, you're as good as your recruits.
Not at St. Bonaventure.
Adrian Wojnarowski reference?
Yeah, he's the program.
But it's all, you're as good as your head coach at the college level. And if there's somebody like a Zion or if there's somebody like a Cooper Flagg, you hear about Cooper Flagg. You hear about the good players. But more often than not, it is about the coaches. By the way, speaking of coaches, I just had to revel in this because our old friend there, Mr. Doug Gottlieb, who just wrapped up his first full season with the Green Bay Phoenix, the record for Doug Gottlieb, who's also maintaining his show on Fox Sports while trying to coach a Division II or Division I basketball team.
It's D1.
So the Green Bay Phoenix, under Doug Gottlieb in year one, 6-28. That a boy.
Well, it's appropriate. You know, Phoenix rises from the ashes. So, I mean, that's
so that would have to happen next year.
Well, I think they lost to a D2 team.
They lost to Michigan Tech.
Yeah. Who's got a great hockey program, by the way.
The
but
team
they
he called whatever bozos in that press conference. He's like, I can't believe we got to go and play this team, Michigan Tech. It's a waste of time.
What did he call them? The unknowns? Or like they didn't deserve to be on the same floor.
Some derogative statement. And then he got beaten by 2 points.
And then they lost to them. Was it? Did he get into it with Schefter? And Schefter just posted a record of his team?
That was unrelated. Yeah, well, it had something to. It was an unrelated matter.
But, oh, okay. Yeah, but Doug Gottlieb, like, dude, hang him up. What? One or the other. Hang up the coaching whistle, if they still use those anymore, or hang up the headphones. Like, just put one of them down and get back to doing what it is you're supposed to do, which is one job and not the other.
Well, to your point about, I'm one of those people that once a year I pay attention to college basketball, and it's this week.
You can easily name more head coaches than players.
But I'm trying to think of any players that really stand out to me, though. As I watch these games, it seems more like the collective of the team and their style of play as opposed to like, ooh, that we got to see this guy. You know, there isn't that one player or players. It's not as much of a players' league like that of the NBA.
No, and I understand why. Like, to your point, players are going in and out so fast. And especially now with the transfer portal, it's really hard to keep an eye on who's going where and why and when. So, yeah, it's like, all right, Auburn. Like, I could tell you, like, Johnny Broome is supposed to be a really good player that is a projected, I don't know, 5 or top 10 pick. I personally don't think he's very good or as good as people are making him out.
Johnny Broome?
Yeah,
great
Broome.
Name.
He plays like Josh Smith. But like Houston Rockets, Josh Smith.
Not Atlanta Hawks, Josh Smith.
He's an athlete. I'll give him that. But yeah, you're going to associate Auburn with Bruce Pearl.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
You're going to associate Arkansas with Calipari and Pitino at St. John's. Like all these guys, and maybe I'm biased, obviously, because I like St. Mary's and I work for them. But the one thing that you always hear Randy Bennett talk about is the players. Like last night when they beat Vanderbilt, came from behind down 12. It's about the players. It's a good win for the program. It's a good win for the conference. And it's all because of the guys that put it together. So I just feel like there should be more focus on the stories being told about specific players. And every single year during the tournament, there's going to be someone who emerges who is an unknown star. Like Steph Curry was that guy in 2008 or 2007? His sophomore season when he had the 30 game against Wisconsin, and then he had, it was either against Gonzaga or Wisconsin, and then he had the 40 burger the next game where he just completely took off. You know, he was on Conan O'Brien and all these late talk shows, and he sounds exactly like he sounds now. But there's going to be players like that. I just feel like we have to do a better job as a whole of highlighting those guys instead of just the people that tell them when to go in.
So this Johnny Broome, that's his name? It's a good name.
Yeah.
You want to
Broome
hear
with an E.
You want to hear the best, or it's been a while since the NFL has had a name coming into the NFL draft as a quarterback, and you want to tell me that this guy wasn't popular in terms of attracting...
College football is different.
I know. I'm just... Forget about what...
Sanders?
This is exclusively a name thing. I like Johnny Broome, but there's a quarterback coming into the NFL draft, and he's supposedly pretty good, from Ole Miss, and his name's Jackson Dart.
Oh, yeah. He can sling it, too.
Listen, let me tell you something, Jackson Dart. You better be able to sling it, because that's a hell of a name for a quarterback. He's got to be good.
Dude, this reminds me. There are also...
Jackson Dart.
There are also worse names in sports. There's
a Grady Dick in the NBA.
Well, I wasn't going to go there, but
and
yes.
Jackson is also spelled with an X, by the way. It's not Jackson, J-A-C-K-S-O-N.
Even cooler.
Yeah.
So, in college, this is not about me, but I played baseball at a Division III program. My roommate, my freshman year, we were both pitchers. His last name, he's still one of my best friends. I was a groomsman in his wedding, but his last name is Balk. Like, you have no chance to succeed. You are set up to fail as a pitcher.
That was on the back of his uniform when he would go to the
mound. His last name!
With an E? Please tell me.
No, B-A-L-K. Balk. You're in trouble. You just are.
That's hilarious.
Also, like, I mean, there's just funny ones around sports. Like, the funniest name to me probably is on the golf circuit. Patrick Cantlay. I think that one's pretty funny. But there's just some names that...
You know, there was... So, way back in the day, there used to be a shortstop for the Giants by the name of Johnny LeMaster, who was terrible. Just terrible.
Boo.
And, yes, thank you very much. God, man, your frame of reference. I thought Ev, you may have your beat when it comes to baseball. I don't know. That's saying
a lot.
No,
Pasta showed up with an immaculate grid the other day, because we kind of go back and forth with a few names from... I thought they were from a different dimension.
So Johnny LeMaster used to get booed. His brother, by the way, used to be a linebacker with the Philadelphia Eagles. But Johnny LeMaster was just terrible. And of the, I don't know, 1,500 people that used to go to Candlestick back in the day, they just booed this guy mercilessly. So one day he takes the field with the last name Boo on his back. How did you know that, Pasta?
I know stuff. I read. I'm very well read.
I don't think that would happen in today's game.
When it comes to baseball. Oh, absolutely.
When it comes to baseball, yeah.
No, Pasta's on it, dude. Pasta is one of the up-and-comers in regards to baseball. Catch him in any Giants game. This guy will tell you about the 55th man in the minor league system for the
There's a grand Balfour shout-out, but that wasn't Balfour. It was Balfour.
Yeah, that's true.
But it works.
He was incredible, though. That guy was probably one of my favorite closers.
Also insane.
Well, again, it gets back
not
to those
legally.
Aussies.
Although, yeah, he just liked to talk to himself.
Those were fun teams. Like those teams. Remember Seth Smith? Or who's this?
Yeah, he had a big double against Jose Valverde in game 3, I believe, of the 2013 series when the right before the Coco Crisp walk off, Seth Smith had a big double off the wall.
Those were fun teams.
Yeah. And now they're in Sacramento. You hate to see it.
I'm looking at you trying to watch you steer this thing back to the Warriors.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, we have a couple minutes left here. The Toronto game, Dan.
Very well done. Very well.
Speaking of Seth Smith.
No, I don't think there's any Seth Smiths around the NBA that I can throw to, but...
Smith, of course, is...
There's probably a Smith playing today.
Wasn't
by the way,
the
who else is on Arkansas?
Wasn't he the quarterback that lost his job to Peyton Manning?
No. That was Todd Helton.
Yeah, Todd Helton, but Seth Smith played, I want to say, college football.
Or, I don't know if he lost his job, but Todd Helton was the backup to
No, Helton
Peyton
had
Manning.
The job. It was... Oh, he was the backup. You're right.
Yeah, I think he was the backup quarterback at Tennessee. By the way, everyone's been telling me that... did you know this? Tennessee is known as the Big Orange?
I thought that was Syracuse.
That's what I thought, too. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You can't be... It's like... It's borderline the Ohio State, which I know it is technically named. But, like, trying to emphasize how much better you are than someone else that has the same mascot as you or the same calling. You know, like... Hey, I'm from SI. We're the Cherries or the White Rabbits from Reardon. I don't know if that's the case, but just take your mascot and move on. You're the Volunteers. The Big Orange? No.
It started with Ohio State when it became the.
You better have a lot of juice if you're a Big Orange.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, that's what I do.
It's good to see St. John's, the Johnnies, back in the tourney.
I agree. The Fighting Chris Mullins.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty hot on him. The Diplomats stink. They're done. That's a D3 squad rep by Matt Steinmetz.
Speaking of
Steinmetz
nicknames,
what?
I'll do the favor for you, steering it back to the NBA. How about the Celtics selling for $6.1 billion?
Lacob, look out. if Joe Lacob ever wanted to sell the Golden State Warriors, I think he could get significantly more than that. It's the highest from any NBA team.
Significantly
right?
more?
Dude, the Warriors the second most valuable sports franchise on the planet.
Now, but when Steph retires, get back to me.
But yeah, that's why you sell him now.
Well, he's not going to sell him now.
Well, to be fair, like the Celtics also sold high because they won the championship. They just handed out like $600 million worth of contracts and said, here, we'll take $6 billion and here's your silver platter.
Cash me out one time!
Although I think that a few of the minority owners are still a part of the new ownership group. I was reading a lot of the guys are still there. It's just the leading...
Yeah, and so what little I know about this, so Matt Ishbia bought the Suns for around the same price tag. Hence, I think the point won, because they wanted to be more expensive than that of the Phoenix Suns. But Matt Ishbia, again, I don't know these things intimately, but he got the state, he got the arena, came with it, and the WNBA team.
Yeah, he bought everything.
These guys who paid more just got the Celtics. The Fleet Center does not belong to them.
I think they technically own, don't they own TD Garden?
Or TD Garden.
I thought they did, or is that owned by the Bruins?
I read where they did not get the arena, just the Celtics, whereas Matt Ishbia got the arena.
Well, obviously the Celtics are more valuable.
And the WNBA team. I don't know.
They're more valuable franchise than the Suns. But, like, well, that happened a couple of years ago. I think the Wizards also, because they also own the Mystics, the WNBA team in D.C., and I think they also own the arena. I mean, I don't know what's more valuable, but to me it's, if you're looking to acquire a franchise in the NBA, like the Boston Celtics are, they're one of the blue bloods. You know, they just bought Duke or whatever.
By the way, this just danced in my head. Who's doing play-by-play for the Valkyrie, and who's the flagship?
All that is up in the air.
Oh, okay. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. We do have to get out of here, though. Dan is going to take you home on the other side. I actually got to skedaddle right on down to San Jose. But, look, Dan's going to take you the rest of the way home. Pasta's got you set, all right? 1.5 hour left on Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game. We're back after this.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
And welcome back, everybody. Dan Avone along with you. Welcome to Warriors This Week, the final half hour. I'm having a hard time staying with you, Pasta. What the hell is this?
You've never heard this?
No, I have, but where are we going with this?
It's a Saturday, and we got a half an hour left. It's time for fun.
Ah, all right. Let's let it go.
Feeling hot, 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 hot.
Pinata, just break out, and let's all get nuts. It is a Saturday, and there is every reason in the world to feel good. If you're a Warriors fan, who the hell would have thought that we would have got here at some point? When you just think about, wasn't that long ago, a couple of weeks ago, a little bit more than a month, where the Golden State Warriors were just circling the drain. It was a bad team. It was a sub-500 basketball team. And there was talk about breaking it up. It was talk about getting young. I was one of those guys that was in favor of making some wholesale changes. I think a lot of us were sort of wondering what it is that the Warriors had in store for them when you talk about the future. And now one single player has come and redefined the entire team. Now, I said this earlier in the show, this isn't just a one-off when it comes to Jimmy Butler. Butler has done this everywhere he has gone. This isn't an outlier. He did this in Chicago. He did this in Minnesota. He did this in Philadelphia. And he certainly did this most recently in Miami. And what is it that he does? He arrives at a team, and that team immediately is good and goes to the playoffs. And also, when he leaves a team, that team immediately deals and struggles with the void and the loss of a player that was the central part of them being good. And for lack of a better word, they suck. And that's what's going on with the Miami Heat, in a team that the Warriors will see in a couple of days. And, of course, it's the much-awaited return of Jimmy Butler back to Miami. But all of the sort of, you know, that aside of all the excitement of the return of one Jimmy Butler, it's a team that has lost 10 consecutive games currently. They are well under 500, one of the worst teams out in the Eastern Conference, and this all happened, coincidentally, with the departure of one Jimmy Butler. I threw this statistic out earlier. They are being outscored by an epic league-leading 29 points in the fourth quarter. Where does Jimmy Butler live? Where does he cut his teeth? Where has he made his name? Well, it's in the fourth quarter, and it's in the playoffs. So this guy certainly has put a smile on the faces of all of us. Look at that. As somebody who has to do this show, when the Warriors were in the doldrums going through those 2 months of struggling and not playing well, it was difficult doing this job. It was difficult to show up here. It was like going to the dental chair and talk about what's wrong with the Warriors. And there was no hope in sight. There was nothing around the corner where you could say, well, there's a level of optimism. And now it all makes sense. And when Draymond Green, as premature as it may have sound, that during the All-Star break, and I don't know whether he was just trying to poke the bear, make some noise, that this team is winning an NBA championship. I think that this is a championship or bust team, and I say that for a couple of reasons. First of all, that the Warriors, again, have to do it this year. I think the window is ajar to do it this year because of their age. Secondly, because OKC is not getting any older. And that's a good thing for them. They're just going to get more experienced, and I think they're going to own this conference for the foreseeable future, especially when you think about all the assets they have in terms of draft capital. It's almost not fair. And the Warriors, this is the year that I think OKC can be got. I'm one of those that while I recognize and I clearly give my flowers to one OKC and the Thunder for everything that they've accomplished during this remarkable regular season. And how could you not? I think you got your head in the clouds if you're saying OKC is not that good. They are. But there is a significant difference, more so than any of the other sports, when you talk about postseason basketball or the playoffs. And when it comes to the playoffs and when it comes to OKC, I need to see you do it. I need to see Jalen Williams hit a big shot in a game 7. I need to see players like that of a Chet Holmgren or the SGAs do it when it matters most, because the game literally changes. Transactional basketball, transitional basketball, getting up and down the floor, it's less apparent when you get to the postseason. It's more methodical. You slow it down. Each possession becomes that much more amplified. And you know what it's like? It's very similar to what it is that we've seen from the Warriors in the games that they've won this past week. Starting a week ago in that victory over the New York Knicks, it's a bit of a rock fight. It's ugly. Games oftentimes get ugly, and you have to be able to win in the trenches. You got to do it with defense. The Warriors have it all working for them right now. And OKC does not, nor should it scare any of you, that if the Warriors see them in the second round, or say, should the Warriors, and this is not a good scenario, slide down to the 8 seed and you got to deal with OKC in round 1, that's not something that you want to, certainly of all the scenarios that that could take place from this point forward, that's the least of which you want to see if you're a Golden State Warrior fan. But if indeed that is what it is that you're facing, the Warriors, this current version of the Golden State Warriors, can beat OKC in a 7-game series. I have no doubt in my mind, will OKC be favored? Certainly. As well they should, after what it is that they've displayed this regular season. But experience matters. And I'll hang my hat on Jimmy Butler, who has literally, and when we use that term, drag teams like that of the Miami Heat to the NBA Finals like he did in the bubble a couple of years back against the Los Angeles Lakers, or to the Western Conference Finals, or excuse me, the Eastern Conference Finals of a couple of years back against the Boston Celtics. What it is that he has been able to do by himself now with Steph Curry, it's a scary proposition for anybody that has to go up against that team. And I think you've seen a lot of what Jimmy Butler can do in these last couple of games, where there's that drag word again. He's literally dragged the Warriors to victories over the last, I'd say, that victory over Milwaukee, the victory over Toronto. That's all Jimmy Butler taking you across the finish line. But I would also argue that I think his supporting cast is much better than he had here that he has here than he did in Miami on both occasions when the Miami Heat made those runs. So, and it's a Miami Heat that had no business playing the Denver Nuggets a couple of years back in the finals. It's all Jimmy Butler. My God, if you remember, just go back to that bubble when he went to the NBA Finals and how he just left everything on the floor, the hustle that this guy has. So, listen, it's been done to death. Like, Jimmy this, Jimmy that. It's real. But I think that when you think about the Warriors going forward, let's work you in here, Pasta, that when you think about the Warriors going forward, that the Warriors have as good a shot as anybody of getting to the NBA Finals this year. Let me just ask you, are you with everybody else that OKC is, and I know they've been so good in the regular season, that this is a team that has a clear path and that it's going to be this remarkable, epic upset should they not get to the NBA Finals and should they get tripped up by somebody in the Western Conference this year?
No, I agree with that. And I also want to go back on your other point about this being a championship or bust team, because I agree. I mean, these are guys, three guys in their mid-30s. And you have mentioned it on this station, along with a lot of other people, dynasties do not end well. And there's going to be a time where these guys just aren't going to be in a position where they're going to have pieces around them like they do now. And when you get older, your window starts to close. And it looked like at the beginning of this season that window was closed, and now Jimmy Butler's added into the fold and he's added a new energy. But when you're also adding Jimmy Butler into the fold, you're also adding another guy in his mid-30s. So this, to me, is the season where it has to happen. And, I mean, it's not going to be an easy task for the Warriors getting into the postseason here. And I think you mentioned OKC. I think I'd be afraid of them as well, but I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, listen, this is, again, it's not to – sorry for going off for so long at the beginning of the show. I didn't realize the Pasta, you're pretty good at this. I got to work you in a lot sooner.
Stop.
But it's not that OKC is – it's not about not recognizing how good they've been during the regular season. You got to be a – listen, you haven't watched basketball in the NBA this year if you're going to tell me that you don't think OKC is a good team. They are. I just keep getting back to postseason basketball is different, man. You follow baseball more than anybody I know, man. Seriously. Now that Ev's out of the room, I can say this. But your knowledge of baseball, you'll see – I mean, experience in baseball doesn't mean necessarily a lot. I mean, there are every year there's an Arizona Diamondback story, or you'll see younger teams make runs. Same with the NFL. But when it comes to basketball playoffs, the fact that you've got to get your battle scars. Anthony Edwards a year ago, that was his breakout season, I would say. He was so good in the regular season. I advise everybody just to go watch him on YouTube in that Game 7 against the Dallas Mavericks and look at when the ball was in his hands in big moments. He wanted nothing to do with it. And he was deferring to other players because he wasn't ready. He had no idea. There was nothing that he could do during the regular season that could simulate those moments. And he just was not prepared, or he did not develop that gene in his DNA in moments like that in the playoffs with everybody watching in a Game 7 in a big possession where he's like, I got this, I'll take over as I have throughout the regular season. It was a different version of Anthony Edwards. And this happens time and time again. So, again, I put it to you, Pasta, that when it's OKC, and yeah, Jalen Williams has been amazing. SGA's been incredible. He might be your MVP. Chet Holmgren has been so good. All those guys, Lou Dort, Kayson Wallace. But have you ever seen them do it in a Game 7 or in a big moment in the postseason? And if you haven't, well, then how the hell can I anoint you as the team to beat when it comes to these big games?
Yeah, and basketball is that sport where you need the experience, like you mentioned. Because, I mean, I think it goes into a bigger discussion about how much does the regular season matter to these guys. And I think baseball's the same way. How much over the course of 162 games, over the course of 80 or some odd games, how much does that matter if we could understand that these two teams are going to be in the finals every year? You know, and that's something that experience is important. And the talk around the Warriors has been,
adding Jimmy Butler is just adding another guy with postseason experience. And you have guys like Kuminga and Moses Moody who have been in the postseason, but they haven't had that postseason yet. They haven't had that full postseason experience. They've had a little bit, but they haven't got... They've tasted a little bit of it, but they have not finished the glass.
Moody and Kuminga have more experience than half that roster with OKC. I'm not worried about those boys. And that's one thing that Steve Kerr does a very good job of. And this is, goes back to his early years and their first title in 2014. He plays the kids in the finals. It's almost as though he's making sure that they just get a taste in their mouth of what this is like, because we're going to need you at some point. Maybe next year or the year thereafter, but you got to know how to play in these games. He always makes sure that his kids get those young rookie players back when Kuminga and I want to say Moody were rookies when they won that title. He makes sure that they get a taste of what it's like to play under these lights. Just getting back to the game tonight, Pastor.
Yeah, and I do want to pick your brain real quick on one other thing. What is the thing, aside from playoff experience, that might be most beneficial to some of these young guys? And I have an answer. Playing with Jimmy Butler, Stephen Curry, and Draymond Green. Wouldn't that be the second most impactful thing aside from postseason experience, is playing with those three guys?
Absolutely. And again, just to go back to OKC, is that when things get tight, right? Well, let's just say it's a fourth quarter of a playoff basketball game. And to your point, if I'm Moses Moody, if I'm Jonathan Kuminga, even if I'm Quentin Post and things are getting stuck, I can look at one of those. And if I have this look in my eyes of like, what do I do now? I've never been in this position. Steph will take the ball from your hands and say, it's all right, young fella. I got you. I've done this. I know how to. We'll be fine. Same with Jimmy Butler. Same with Draymond Green. If you're OKC and your eyes get wide and it's the fourth quarter and it's a nip and tuck affair, what are you going to do? Who are you going to look at? Who are you going to go to? Who are you going to say, oh, you've been here before, I'll give you the basketball because I'm not ready for this moment? No. It's a bunch of wide-eyed kids staring at one another, wetting themselves. We get a call?
We do. We got Gene in Oakland.
Big, mean Gene. Let's get out to Oakland. What's up, Gene? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, guys. So, yeah, I want to build on what you said. I've always put a lot of stock in post-season experience, for success. I mean, you look back at, some of the big stars. You look at LeBron. LeBron was not a closer in the postseason. I mean, those two wins with Miami were really Dwayne Wade. I mean, he wasn't the guy that had the ball in his hand with making the critical decision at the end of the game. You could say the same for Durant, and Curry was just fortunate. He had so much talent around him. So, yeah, no, I'm more concerned about, frankly, Denver and Boston than I am about Cleveland and OKC at this point because of that. And I want to say one more thing about, our chances. I do believe we have a chance, but everything's going to have to fall in place. We're going to have good health. Everybody, all our critical players at least, are going to have to be available. And most importantly, we're going to need Stephen Curry to be Stephen Curry. When Butler first came, we were not only winning. Now, granted, we were winning against bad teams or compromised teams, but we were winning big. And we were winning big because he went off. He was re-energized. He looked like the Curry we've come to know and love, sort of the all-star, even MVP-level Curry. But he wasn't playing like that before Butler came. For about 10 games, he was pretty ordinary, in fact, even sub-average. And the last two or three games before he got hurt, he kind of reverted back to that. So I'm hoping that he gets enough rest. I'm hoping that he gets his energy back, gets his legs back, and we can see the version of Curry that we're going to need to make a deep run and maybe have a puncher's chance to win the whole thing.
Job, Gene. I think that applies to everybody, though. Yeah, certainly the Warriors. You can't have one of their big three go down. You just can't afford to. You can't have Steph not available for the postseason. But that's true for everybody. SGA, if he's not available for OKC, as deep as they are, they aren't going anywhere. You take any star out of the rotation right now, and they're they're not making that run in the postseason. That's just true for every basketball team. The one thing about the Warriors, and this is true, again, for everybody vying for an opportunity to get to the postseason right now, is that just get there. Get in as the 6 or the 5 seed, all right? Because once you get there, you get that opportunity to rest. Like, load management is a thing during the regular season, but it's not in the postseason, simply because you have so much time in between games. And so as an older team, just get into the dance and you'll be fine. Don't worry about being an older team. That's no longer an excuse. You throw that out the window because there's so much time in between games. Heck, the playoffs, the season ends in 3 weeks, I'm going to say April 16th, 17th. But the NBA Finals go until early June. So you're talking 2 months, 2 months of basketball, and there's a lot of rest in between. But it gets down to tonight. And Pasta, you cannot afford to look past Atlanta. As ridiculous as that sounds, and as much as everybody says, hey, listen, you know, anybody can beat anybody, but you've got to stack wins. And these are playoff games. They really are. Because while you might be just one game behind Memphis, you got to look over your, you know, over your shoulder, because here comes an on-charging Clippers and Minnesota isn't going anywhere. And so while Atlanta and the Pelicans and some of these teams, including the Miami Heat, may look inferior, and they are, you are not in a position like you did against Denver, where you just showed up and tried to mail it in, because moments before the game you found that the Joker and Jamal Murray were not going to be available along with Christian Brown. There's absolutely no room for error from this point forward, Pasta.
Well, there's no room to take a game off. I mean, like you said, I mean, these next few games, from here on out to the end of the regular season, these are crucial games. And I don't think people need me saying that. I think it's pretty implied. But no, there's not much more to say other than these are really important games. And, you know, you might look at the Hawks on the surface and say, 500 team, but I mean, you can't take a game off.
No, you can't. And listen, I like Dyson Daniels as a good defender, and Trey Young is going to be Trey Young. Terrence Mann still with them, I believe. I mean, they get some players.
And I want to see how the offense runs without Steph Curry. I want to see what, you know, how big of an impact Jimmy Butler is. Because after Curry went down, somebody had to step up, and it was Jimmy Butler. And I think we talked about this last week with Evan. There hasn't been that one Jimmy Butler game where he just goes off on the stat sheet. You know, you see a good amount of assists on there. You see a good amount of effect that Jimmy Butler has, not on the stat sheet, where he's opening up the floor for a lot of these guys. There's more ball movement. That's what Steve Kerr loves. But with no Steph Curry, how's that going to translate? So that's one thing that I'm going to look to see, is how the offense runs without Steph Curry today.
Yeah, well, Jimmy Butler's put up some significant numbers. Who I want to see have that breakout game is Kuminga. Like, it hasn't happened yet.
Or even Pods. You know, Pods has been great since coming back.
Yeah, Pajemski's gone back to untouchable territory. This is exactly who the Warriors thought they got at the beginning of the season, going into his sophomore campaign after what it is that he did last year. But of course, he got off to that really terrible start, and now he's back to being Pajemski. And with the arrival of Jimmy Butler, they share the same DNA. He and Moody, it's the perfect basketball game for team for Pajemski. But again, I think when things get stuck offensively, it doesn't have to be just Jimmy Butler on an ISO and clear the hell out of the way. I think Jonathan Kuminga is the other guy that can get buckets when things get bogged down or when Steph Curry isn't available. He has that ability to make something out of nothing. And I just think that two things have to happen, is that Jimmy Butler has to recognize Jonathan Kuminga is on the floor, give him the ball, respect him, and then Steve Kerr is either going to blow in Jimmy Butler's ear or Draymond Green that, hey, listen, we have another player that can also ISO and get his, and that's Jonathan Kuminga. He's a huge asset. They just need to go to him, and they just need to show some he still gets sped up from time to time, though.
That's the one knock on him in year four, is that you're just hoping that he gets into that zone and becomes like, and it was slowing down for him, and it does from time to time, right? That's why that injury was so untimely, because I think it was all coming together for him. But I think Jonathan Kuminga is really, really a key going forward. What do you think of the kid Quentin Post, man?
It's a great story, and there's a great article that I read.
You read more than anybody, man.
I love reading. There's a good article in the Boston Globe about how Quentin Post.
Why the Boston Globe?
When you're doing your rounds for doing some Warriors reading, Niners reading, you come across some of the bigger publications.
All right.
Is
O'Shaughnessy still writing at the Globe?
He's still there.
Is he?
Some of the older guys are still there.
Crusty old Irishman.
But the headline is, if anybody wants to read it, how Quentin Post went from Boston College in the G League to become a rotation player for the Warriors. So it was really good story. And
what, if you just break it down in 10 seconds?
Well, I mean...
Or did you just read the headline and not the article?
The article is on my list of stuff to read.
Okay.
So I should have prefaced it by saying that. But
I just called you out, Boston.
It's pretty self-explanatory what the article is going to be about.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a cool story. I mean, he's a guy who at the beginning of the year wasn't getting any minutes, but comes up here and he's the stretch five that everybody craves. Everybody wants one, and the Warriors feel like they have it. And, you know, there's a lot of argument at the deadline. Should they get a big man? Should they get a big man? And Quentin Post kind of...
Who knew? They had one the whole time.
They had one the whole time. Yeah, Quentin Post shut that down. I take some pressure off Draymond, and you got yourself a pretty big piece. And, Dan, the cool thing about Quentin Post, the dude's fired up all the time.
How about that? Getting
He's
the crowd
fired
into
up
it.
All the time. I mean, when you're a 25-year-old rookie and you're, like, getting the crowd into it, like, it takes some kahunas. And, yeah, good for him.
Well, you know, I got brothers and sisters. We can give you some kahunas. You mean cojones? That too. All right, so that shall do it for us. Evan Giddings, my partner, out a little early, but that's all right. Me and Pasta got this thing covered. We can go for another 4 hours. Pasta,
we're cooking.
What do you want to do for the rest? You want to just hang out here and just break into regulars? I don't need to hear Cars R Us promo for the next 10 minutes. We can just carry this thing.
I got to be back later for the I'm cutting Warriors highlights.
Let's plug
tonight.
That. Yeah, Grandy's got the pregame show beginning at, is that at 3:30?
Probably around that time you'll hear Grandy, yeah.
Yeah, Grandy has got, well, it's a 4 o'clock tip, so 3 o'clock. So he'll be on at 3.
Just don't change the station at all. How about that?
Yeah, just stay right here. All right, that'll do it for Evan Giddings, my man Pasta. This is Dan Devone. Hope you enjoyed it. It's the Warriors taking on the Hawks tonight. You can hear all the action right here with Tim Roy beginning at 3 o'clock. We get things going, and, of course, tip is at 4. 95.7 The Game is one you want to keep it, and of course, we'll be back for another edition of Warriors This Week next Saturday. Until then, enjoy the weekend, everybody. So long.
Yay!